AI remains a key element in Russian military's thinking about modern and future combat, especially Russia's version of what we in the West call net-centric warfare. And Russian military, Russian security services, Russian government are actually investing in applying artificial intelligence in information and cyber domain. Overall, the Russian sentiment is Russia trying not to stay behind in the technological race.
Hey, welcome back to the Modern War Institute podcast, brought to you with the very generous support of the West Point class of 1974. I'm John Amble, editorial director at MWI, and on this episode, I'm joined by Sam Bendett. He's an advisor with CNA's Strategy, Policy, Plans, and Programs Center, where he is also a member of the Russia Studies Program. In addition, he's an adjunct senior fellow in the Technology and National Security Program at the Center for a New American Security, which just released a report he wrote on Russia's development of artificial intelligence technology. Now, Russian leaders, including Vladimir Putin, have expressed the view that AI will be crucial to Russian security in the years and decades ahead. But to what extent has that translated into progress on the development of AI tools? How do Russian military leaders envision the specific use cases of AI? And what factors either limit or enable Russian research and development in this technological field? Sam's report offers insights into these questions and more, and he joins this episode to discuss them. Before we get to the conversation, a few quick notes. First, very special thanks to the West Point class of 1974 for their generous support to MWI. Second, be sure to subscribe to the MWI podcast in your favorite podcast app so you don't miss an episode. And finally, as always, what you hear in this episode are the views of the participants and don't represent those of West Point, the Army, or any other agency of the U.S. government. All right, here's my conversation with Sam Bendett. Sam, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the MWI podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So you authored a recently published report published by the Center for a New American Security entitled The Role of AI in Russia's Confrontation with the West. And I think it's really interesting because there's sort of two frameworks in play here, right? On one hand, you have military technology, and on the other hand, you have Russia. And where those two frameworks intersect is where you've spent a lot of your research focus over recent years. Can you talk a little bit about your background before we jump into the specific topics and what kind of drew you to this subject matter as an area of research?
Sure. I joined CNA Russia Studies Program back in 2016 when CNA and other efforts in the greater Washington area were, and government in general, were staffing up with knowledge and resources on trying to understand Russia's revived military adventurism. By that time, Russia was already in Syria. Russia was already influencing Eastern Ukraine. Russia already got Crimea, and there was a sense that we need to once again try to understand exactly where Russia's coming from and why it's doing all those things. And within that context, beginning around 2016, I started looking at Russia's development of more advanced and emerging technologies like UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles, robotic systems, along with artificial intelligence. And we were looking at a variety of public sources, open classified resources, and trying to understand how Russia's development of these technologies is impacting its military security and defense posture.
Well, you mentioned several of those technologies. So before we jump into AI specifically, I wonder if you would you characterize the Russian military as a technology-driven force? Because, you know, if so, that sort of flies in the face of, I think, some common tropes and maybe stereotypes about the Russian military as being one that's disproportionately biased toward mass and just sheer quantities of firepower.
Well, every military obviously is technology driven, and Russian military is no exception. It's one of the biggest military forces around the world. It's one of the most sophisticated militaries around the world when it comes to variety and application of different types of technologies. Russia does occasionally use mass along with more advanced weapons and systems. We're certainly seeing that in Ukraine, where massed infantry attacks are backed by modern electronic warfare and modern unmanned aerial vehicles, along with long-range artillery systems. Russia historically has had a relatively large population from which it could draw significant human resources for prosecution of its military campaigns. That was certainly the case in World War I. It certainly was the case in World War II. But what is happening in Ukraine and Russia's thinking about subsequent conflicts is probably going to be at the intersection of quality and quantity, that is advanced weapons and systems that could work alongside other massed resources, including soldiers themselves.
You know, I think Vladimir Putin is quite famous for emphasizing the importance of AI. You cite that. You mentioned a 2022 address in your report in which he said effectively that AI competition, I believe you said, is fierce, and that Russia's place in the world and its sovereignty and security depends on its ability to you know, conduct R&D in artificial intelligence. Looking specifically at Russia's military and defense enterprise, defense community, you know, I wonder if it's one thing to just say that Russia is emphasizing AI research and development, but can we put a finer point on it? You know, is this sort of priority number one, or is it just one initiative alongside many others that, you know, sometimes is prioritized and maybe other times less so?
It's certainly one of the key priorities across the Russian military. It's been a significant priority even before invasion of Ukraine in 2022. There were a lot of resources put into the development of different forms of and types of artificial intelligence and applications of it. I do state in the report that sometimes it's difficult to actually state with certainty whether Russia is working on AI application or AI technology, because a lot of those efforts are classified or we need actual technical proof. But Russia certainly spoke a lot about such developments. And most importantly, a lot of those efforts today and in the past 2.5 years and going forward are going to be a reflection of what Russia is seeing and experiencing in its invasion of Ukraine, a reflection of and mirror imaging of what Ukraine is doing, and certainly trying to be in lockstep with major technology leaders like United States and China and other countries, which are investing significant resources in applying artificial intelligence in the military.
You said it wants to be in lockstep with major powers like the United States and China. Do Russian leaders envisage similar use cases as, say, American military leaders for AI?
Yes, they do. In fact, a lot of statements made by the Russian military that we cite in the report are similar to those made over time by the United States, by China, and other artificial intelligence leaders. What it boils down to in the short to medium term for the Russian military is using artificial intelligence to analyze significant vast quantities of heterogeneous, unstructured data, especially data coming from the battlefield, from numerous sources, such as those on the ground, in the air, and in cyberspace. Another significant role for artificial intelligence is envisioned as a decision-making tool, a tool that would be able to make sense out of all of this data so that a human operator, a soldier, or commander can arrive at a correct decision. These are principles that are also discussed in the West, in the United States, across NATO, and in China. This places a human in the loop, but at the same time, Russian military is trying to envision combat with so much data where everything happens so quickly that artificial intelligence steps into a more expanded role where it can make certain specific decisions and put the human on the loop. But that's sort of in the near future. For the immediate needs for the Russian military, the Ministry of Defense and its high-tech ecosystem, again, are envisioning AI for decision-making and data analysis. And this has been stated publicly last August, and we cite that in the report.
When you talk about a human in the loop versus on the loop versus out of the loop, there are two considerations, right? There's one, effectiveness, and the other one is ethics. How much of the ethics portion of that factors into conversations that are being had in Russia about these technologies?
You know, it's interesting. Before the invasion, there were a lot of public debates and discussions about ethical use of AI in the civilian sphere. And there was actually a robust debate, or relatively robust debate, in the Russian government, its high-tech community, its nascent private sector, about the ethical use of artificial intelligence. Certainly the Russian government has stated that AI would be used in ethical forms in the civilian sphere. But again, that's kind of hard to prove now that Russia is on the war footing, now that the Russian economy is shifting to a wartime economy, where the military industrial sector and military efforts are going to be a significant part of the Russian economic drive, a significant source of financial and technological achievements, that may be different. We haven't necessarily seen a lot of Russian statements about ethical use of AI in the military. I think in this case, Russia is more results driven. And so if Russia were to invent something that would enable a much faster and lethal operation by different types of robotic systems, for example, in combat, it would probably field that. But overlapping with those efforts and those hints at how such technologies would be used are also public statements coming from the Russian military dating back to 2016 and certainly very pronounced in 2020 onwards, that such AI applications, AI technologies will augment the warfighter. They will not replace the soldier, because no matter how advanced an artificial intelligence is today, it cannot replicate the human and especially a soldier's experience, whether it's an infantry soldier, a commander, or a pilot of an aircraft, or even a tank commander. And so those considerations play a role. Some of those statements coming from the Russian military are contradictory, but overall, again, they envision artificial intelligence not necessarily replacing a soldier or a human anytime soon.
Contradictory in what sense?
Well, some Russian military thinkers and Russian military academics, as well as those coming from Russia's defense industrial sector, the main researchers at some of the more relevant defense industrial companies, are envisioning a future where robotic systems are going to take place on the battlefield. They will replace a human soldier to the point where a human would just be essentially trying to direct the battle between different types and varieties of autonomous and robotic systems in the physical space, as well as in the cyber information space. Other military officials are saying that AI is never going to replace a human commander. It's always going to augment what the commander is doing. Some of those statements were made before Russia's invasion, some of those statements made after Russian invasion. Again, AI remains a key element in Russian military's thinking about modern and future combat, especially Russia's version of what we in the West call net-centric warfare. And again, they're looking at what Ukraine has done so far, even in limited capacity. They're trying to match it. They're trying to understand it. And overall, the Russian sentiment is Russia trying not to stay behind in the technological race, trying to match some of the developments in more advanced, wealthier nations, if even on a smaller scale.
You know, this isn't an episode purely about the Russia-Ukraine war, but that's obviously the important context within which we're talking about this, right? So how would you characterize the balance that Russian military leaders have between, you know, let's develop near-term battlefield applications of this, even if it's in some rudimentary form, applications that could have an effect in its current war in Ukraine, versus maybe more potentially revolutionary capabilities that are going to take, you know, a lot longer time to develop and involve looking at time horizons, you know, that are years, maybe even many years into the future?
Well, I think it's both Russian military and all the communities that assist Russian military forces against Ukraine, such as the rapidly emergent volunteer groups and organizations. They have absorbed lessons from Ukraine very quickly, and that is how Ukraine built and fielded FPV-type drones, for example, and commercial quadcopters. And ultimately, Russia was able to absorb those lessons, copy those lessons, and is using the same technologies, but at a much greater scale. And so it's both how advanced tech, especially commercial tech or coming from the commercial sector, can augment Russian operations today, and what the impact is going to be in the near future. Russia hasn't stopped building and developing unmanned, uncrewed, and robotic systems just because it wasted a lot of soldiers in Ukraine in 2022, in 2023, and this year. It continues to invest in resources. But a lot of those developments are probably impacted to a very significant extent by what they've seen in Ukraine. Here's an example. A lot of Russian robotic developments, especially those gearing towards autonomous applications, like the often cited Marker unmanned ground vehicle, which is probably a flagship project across the MOD when it comes to military autonomous operations. Projects like that were developed in the absence of an FPV drone threat. And then in 2023, this threat has appeared and completely upended how nations fight at the tactical level. Because right now in Ukraine, there are so many drones, the dangers from FPV is so great that anything that moves on the Ukrainian battlefield is going to be seen, it's going to be observed, and ultimately it's going to be hit very quickly with a quadcopter, an FPV drone, a one-way, a loading munition drone. And so the FPV threat has appeared suddenly and has had an enormous impact. Whether it's a lingering impact remains to be seen, and this is something that's probably discussed by every major military out there that looks at Ukraine. But a lot of unmanned ground vehicles, including autonomous ones that Russia was developing, for example, were relatively large, expensive systems in fewer numbers. And they would be very quickly identified and lost to FPV threats. So how to build a vast, for example, unmanned ground vehicle army, right, in the presence or with the presence of an FPV threat that has materialized relatively quickly. This is something that the Russians are working on right now, just like all the other major militaries, right? The war in Ukraine has had a diffusion effect where both Russians and Ukrainians moved away from fielding expensive standalone systems, like very expensive medium altitude, long endurance drones, towards fielding a very large number of cheap attritable systems, including UAVs, by the thousands, or probably by the tens of thousands. And that type of diffusion is probably going to affect how forces like Russia and Ukraine are going to field unmanned ground vehicles. And for example, Ukrainian Army of Robots, as well as Russian military's designs and experiments with unmanned ground vehicles, are now trending towards smaller, cheaper systems that could be quickly put together and ultimately lost in combat. And the same probably goes for unmanned surface vessels, both for Ukraine and for Russia. So there's still a place for sophisticated systems in the Russian military, of course, in the Ukrainian military, in the Western military. But the war in Ukraine has impacted how we view the attrition of those systems and how we find solutions to those systems. And that's why Russians are obviously talking about possible swarm applications of cheap attritable systems like UAVs, like unmanned ground vehicles, and possibly surface and subsurface robotic and autonomous systems as well, that would be guided by artificial intelligence in one form or another.
You know, most of our listeners will think about kind of technology development in a US context, especially when you're talking about advanced technologies like artificial intelligence. You know, it's very driven by universities, a robust tech sector. In Russia, is it similar? What are the sort of what's the sort of center of gravity? What are the engines driving research and development in Russia?
In Russia, the center of gravity is the state. It is the state that has the funding and has the resources for advanced and high-tech research, development, testing, experimentation, and fielding. The state funds the best universities across the country. In fact, some of the best universities in Russia have the word state in them, like Moscow State University, St. Petersburg State University, and many, many others. Russia's biggest defense industrial corporations, like Rostec, are obviously funded and supported by the state. And so Russian state has the ultimate say in how many of these technologies or many of these technological principles are going to be researched and fielded. There is a small and nascent private sector in Russia the way we understand it, but it is a very, very tiny fraction of the private high-tech sector in the United States. And so with Russian state, with the Russian government having so much influence in how high-tech is developing, that certainly generates its own set of rules and principles by which the Russian high-tech sector is developing. An example that was often cited from several years ago, one of Russia's most successful facial recognition companies, which has a global presence, ultimately now is owned in part by Rostec, which is Russia's biggest defense and industrial conglomerate. And so in the United States, private sector has an outsized role in how, for example, artificial intelligence and high tech and software and ICT in general is developing and applied. And sometimes the private sector can compete with and butt heads with the government, as we have witnessed years ago with Google, for example. In Russia, it's in reverse. It's the state that has the overall influence and significance in the country. And academia, as well as the high tech sector writ large, are dependent on that. And that's certainly going to be the case going forward now that Russia is engaged in a long-term conflict with Ukraine. And a lot of efforts, including those from the private sector, are looking for looking to the state for guidance and support, including financial support.
You know, do Russian leaders see AI then as the ultimate, essentially, key to unlock what has become a very static for war in Ukraine, a place where, as you said, if you move, if you concentrate forces, if you do almost anything, you can be observed, and the kill chain has become so condensed that you're almost immediately targeted with precise and effective fires?
Well, it's one of the technologies out of the current stalemate. Certainly, Russia can use old and tried human wave tactics to wear down Ukrainian defenses. And we're witnessing that right now around Chasiv Yar, around Kharkiv region. And again, Russia has more human resources capable of doing so. Those resources aren't going to be around forever. We have a lot of commentary coming from Russian military, including Russian non-military space, Russian volunteers who are helping the military with high-tech systems, who are openly saying that Russian demography can no longer afford World War II style tactics. There's just not enough demographics to continue wasting soldiers' lives. And so Russian military must be able to birth not just an army of soldiers, but an army of robots that could be quickly fielded and replaced if they are lost. Again, right now we're seeing Russia using a combination of older tactics, which are human intensive tactics, with the applications of more advanced technologies like better and improved electronic warfare systems, a lot more artillery systems, a lot more drones, including FPV drones and one-way kamikaze drones, which are wearing down the Ukrainian forces at present.
I want to ask you about, I guess, sanctions, right? When Russia invaded in a large-scale fashion in 2022, there was a pretty rapid and large framework of sanctions imposed on Russia. Russia has since taken a number of steps to insulate itself from some of the effects of those sanctions. Have they had a limiting effect in terms of its ability to sort of foster and grow this domestic AI industry?
Up to a certain point, the sanctions have exposed the degree to which Russia's high-tech sector, including artificial intelligence sector and the military, of course, were and still are dependent on Western and global high-tech components. And Russia has found a number of avenues to get those components, bypassing the sanctions. Russia also launched domestic programs aimed to substitute the dependence on those imports on domestic solutions. The technological sovereignty is sort of the war cry right now across Russia. But even those who are part of this effort understand that Russia won't be able to go it alone, because right now around the world, no nation alone has the entire supply chain when it comes to most advanced technologies like microchips and microelectronics. And so Russia will rely and will continue to rely on its partners, including China. And China probably has a relatively outsized role in Russia's conduct in Ukraine and the prosecution of the war, starting with the availability of Chinese quadcopters, parts to assemble FPV drones, which are also coming from China, so that these drones can be built in massive quantities, to some of the more advanced systems and technologies, including those for military, civilian, and dual-use applications, which are also coming from China. So Russia has a number of avenues it could pursue, but the overall result isn't clear. As we indicate in the report, Russia's invasion of Ukraine has triggered a number of programs and principles like import substitution, like technological sovereignty, for which the Russian government probably was not adequately prepared for.
I remember reading, in the run-up to some of the phases of large-scale mobilization that we've seen in Russia, I remember reading about an exodus of skilled workers who, you know, frankly, had no interest in dying in a trench in Ukraine. I don't know, you know, if it extended to such a point that it amounted to a sort of brain drain, but has there been an effect of that, of some of the expertise that's required to build an advanced AI industry leaving the country?
The effect was probably more impactful on the civilian industry. A lot of people have indeed left, but now, essentially in the middle of 2024, some of those people have returned. Some of those people who left were actually working for Russian companies, and they were able to escape Russia to work overseas. Now they can no longer do that. Other people who left could not adapt, could not get legal status or a visa, and they ultimately came back as well. We don't know the actual number of those that have returned, but they are also significant. Russian high-tech sector was small to begin with, and the number of people working on more advanced applications, including AI, was also small to begin with. And so when thousands or even tens of thousands of high-tech workers leave, that can have an outsized impact in the immediate to short, or excuse me, in the short to medium term on how Russian high-tech sector can develop. But the military was always more siloed, right? A lot of classified projects, classified funding, military's own research and development institutions, military's own technical centers. And so a lot of this military high-tech ecosystem was relatively isolated from the larger trends that took place. Just like, for example, in the West, it isn't easy for someone with a very high security clearance just to pick up and leave the country and work elsewhere. And so the same was observed in Russia. But the Russian government officials at the highest levels are also recognizing that now that Russia has to fend for itself, it cannot really depend on a lot of cooperation with the West when it comes to technology like AI or other high-tech related developments. It has to grow its own workforce quite rapidly, and it's unable to do so because that's a slow process. It takes years, sometimes decades, to grow a significant high-tech workforce. And the Russian gap can be in the hundreds of thousands of people in general. And of course, that can also impact how artificial intelligence is developing. That there is a gap. We just don't know exactly how impactful it is going to be on what Russian military specifically wants and on what the civilian AI efforts are going to look like.
We've talked about some of the sort of disadvantages, the limiting factors shaping Russia's development of military AI. Does it have any advantages, things that enable it to develop these technologies and to do so maybe in a quicker manner than say in the US?
Well, Russia has always had a very strong STEM background, and that is education in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Right. Russian mathematicians, Russian scientists are known world over as some of the most talented and the best in their respective areas of expertise. And that's recognized by Russian partners like China, for example, which was tapping into the Russian STEM academia for its own AI research and development. And there's plenty of those STEM educated people in Russia still, plenty of students at different levels who are still strong in math, who want to go into the STEM fields. Russian government has also worked extensively to promote patriotic sentiment among those who are interested in technology development, to let the young people, including kids at different school levels, be involved in, for example, UAV development or UAV piloting or robotics development in general. Again, this is still at the nascent levels, but has the prospects of becoming something much, much bigger. Russia is definitely cut off from a lot of avenues that it had prior to invasion of Ukraine in working on and developing artificial intelligence, including cooperation with global partners and players. And that's going to have an impact. At the same time, again, Russia's market in general was relatively small. Its achievements, again, when compared to those of the United States, China, and a handful of other countries, were also relatively modest. And that may be enough for Russian defense sector, for Russian military to tap into for available solutions. Again, Russia will lean on international partners, and Russia will likely lean on China as well going forward.
There's a pretty fascinating section on the implications of all of this in your report. And I don't want to go through all of them. I would encourage listeners to go find the report and read it because it really is interesting. But I want to ask you about a couple of them. One of them, we've talked about how AI will sort of influence or play a role in Russian kinetic operations. But what about non-kinetic operations in the information environment in the cyber domain?
Russia views information competition and cyber warfare as one of the main elements in confrontation with the West. Russia believes that it is the West that aims such information and cyber initiatives, weapons, and systems at Russia, and it believes it finds itself on the defensive, therefore gaining an advantage or adopting a powerful defensive posture in the information cyber domain are on top of the Russian military and government agenda. And those efforts can, in fact, be supercharged by certain artificial intelligence applications. And Russian military, Russian security services, Russian government are actually investing in applying artificial intelligence in information and cyber domain. We can only guess at this point, unless we actually have technical proof of Russia using AI, where such applications are going to be. But again, information and cyber domain are on top of Russia's agenda for not just defense and security, but also promoting its policies abroad and going on the offensive against what Russia perceives as interference in its own domestic affairs.
One of the other implications that you mentioned, you write that Russia is more willing presumably than the U.S., the West, more willing to experiment on the battlefield with untested technology. Is that purely a matter of, we talked about ethics earlier, is that purely a matter of ethics, or is there more to it?
Well, I think we're seeing that right now in Ukraine. There's lots and lots of self-initiated projects which are used by certain Russian units, basically down to company and squad levels. And these technologies are developed at the front. They're provided by the volunteers. They're bypassing a lot of the official MOD acquisition and developing structures. And some of these are definitely unproven in the sense that they were just built and developed and given to the Russian soldiers to experiment with. So there's plenty of experimentation in combat already. And the Russian military and certainly Ukrainian military are used already to experiment literally on the fly, where the weapon or system development acquisition and testing timeline has shrunk from years, which it was before the invasion, to now literally days and hours. And so in that atmosphere, it is relatively easy to introduce an advanced system for rapid experimentation with the aim to possibly acquire it if it actually meets the expectations.
The report is a fascinating read, but it's also a very current snapshot, right? A lot of the sources are very recent. A lot of the observations are sort of precise reflections of this moment. As you look forward and continue watching this over the next handful of months or even the next couple of years, what are the trend lines, I guess, that you expect to focus on the most?
Well, likely, what is the impact of Russian import substitution and technological sovereignty drive? Can they actually develop domestic technologies that would give them a good enough approach or good enough technology to field and build on, right? What is the impact on the Russian workforce? Are they really going to grow this AI-enabled workforce? Now that the Russian government has new ministers in place, including a defense minister, and some of the Russian government officials are retaining their seats from the previous administration, there's going to be a significant drive towards general high-tech evolution of the Russian government, society, and the military from the current state to the one where everything and everyone is more technologically abled and connected. And artificial intelligence is going to play a very significant role in that process writ large, including for Russian prime minister, the new defense minister, and a couple of other ministers tasked with high-tech and digital technology development. So those trends are definitely worth watching, and we imply that in the report.
Well, Sam, I want to thank you again for joining me today and for the work that you put into the report. Again, I encourage any listeners who are interested to read it. It's available and really easy to find on the CNAS website because it is packed with insights, and we only covered a portion of them today in the discussion. So, Sam, thanks again for joining me.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the MWI podcast. One last thing, if you aren't following MWI on social media, you can find us on Twitter/X, Facebook, or LinkedIn. It is a great way to stay up to date on all of the new articles, podcast episodes, research, and more that we're publishing every day. Thanks again.